How's that? All right, I was just looking around and I see a lot of faces that I know, which is reassuring. And I just was thinking of the tapestry, I guess, is I've heard our Pastor Tom talk about the tapestry that God weaves through our lives and in our lives. And, I'm just going to take a second and just, I didn't get a chance to meet this lady next to Tristan. Is that her mom?
No.
But, just the part that God has put in my life here in the Sugarloaf community, and I view it an honor and privilege to come and talk with you today. But it's going to take a second. Like the Burrells I know from first from a Bible study up at the Morrises, and Linda's like my favorite Deli's lady ever, and Christy works at the chiropractic office that we go to, HealthQuest down in Farmington, and then the mom, of course, is both in there. Louise and Bill, we go back forever, and Louise is just such a classy lady that lives for the Lord, and just love everything that God has placed in my life that has brought us together. Doreen, right?
Dorothy.
You work with my wife in the school district. I shared my condolences this morning with her because I had found out about her mother. Jean Keith, who looked familiar today, and I found out that we look after a couple of her properties, the company that I work for, Mountain Valley Property, and so I know her through that. Michelle, I know through years of the chapel here, but through Virtue Interiors, we work together. The Keens. I had their daughter Stacy in bubble cuffers a million years ago. Beverly, I just got a chance to meet. We'll have to figure out how we intertwine, if we were to do somehow.
My granddaughter's in bubble cuffers.
There you go. That's the 6 degrees of separation or whatever it is. The Baines I've known forever. Their son Bruce, who I'm always calling Mr. Bain Bruce for some reason. But it's really good name. But anyway, I just know them from Truckle Hound days, which was also a million years ago. And then my brothers from Western Mountains Baptist Church that have shared many good things and life adventures together. And I just appreciate them being here today. But I just think that's cool how, you know, we're a small body today, but we are all part of God's family. And we're all tasked to do a job. Part of what our message is today is going to kind of hopefully weave some of that in, how we can use our connections for our fulfilling our purpose in life and what God has for us. Connor, I didn't tell you what verse, but could you shoot Acts 3. We're going to read that whole passage. It doesn't matter. I guess I've been the revised American Standard. You have different versions on there. Are you American Standard? It doesn't matter.
And what passage?
Acts 3, verses 1 through 10.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and get that going. There's one other portion of the service that I neglected, and we'll start off with that, just so we get off on the right foot here, too, is prayer concerns, anything that you bring forward, praises, anything like that. Pam has a cool little journal up here that I'll write in, and then we'll pray for those. Anybody have anything that they'd like to share this morning? Mr. Burrell.
We'll pray for my dad. Okay. He's scheduled surgery on a Friday.
What's his name?
We'll work out. His name is Fern.
Fern?
Fern.
Okay. Operation what day?
Okay. Randy Tookie, who's that main general, actually a mass general, recovering from trauma and some of the accidents.
Yeah, pretty serious, like chest and ribs and...
Chest, ribs,
heart.
The arteries and heart stuff. Has some surgery
Okay. Michelle first, and then Tristan.
I had a couple of celebrations. Will's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm very excited. He'll be 8 years old. That's been wonderful. 8 years in the news.
Anxiety level, probably. Public speaking, gotta love it.
And finally, just a huge thanks to God for bringing Hilda into our lives and sharing her with us for the past 2 years. I'm really grateful.
Interesting. Stuff the Stratton Elementary crowd.
Yeah.
And I saw Louise.
Mine is always, I can't stop bringing up the joys of this community and the way that everybody's taking care of me in so many ways in my life and the way that no matter what there is, they're right there too. Take care of everybody. When I say this community is wider than Carabasset Valley or Sugar Bowl, there's people all around us. That's always a joy to me too. I did find heaven. Bill and I did find heaven when we found this area.
I think I'm going to, while those are fresh in my head, we'll just we'll pray for those right now, if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our joys and praises, Lord, our concerns for others, and what they mean to us in our lives. And we just ask that you would bless these requests, Lord. We think specifically of Jerry's dad, Fern, as he's going into an operation this week. We just pray that you would guide that physician's hand, or just bring that physician and that team in as fresh and as skilled as they've ever done an operation before, and that everything would go smoothly and the recovery would be speedy. And we just thank also Randy Kluke, who was in that serious snowmobile accident. We know that he's already been through a lot. Maybe life flighted down to Mass General, and the seriousness of that alone is rather scary. And we just pray that you would continue that progress of healing. Maybe be with his doctors and team there to see his recovery through. We just want to celebrate Will's 8th birthday, Lord, and I know. That's an exciting time. Birthdays mean a lot, and a lot of planning and preparing for the party. Just be with Michelle at a house full of boys or something there. And just pray that he would have a good day. And just also ask for peace in Sam's week this week as he prepares and gets his piece ready there to memorize and perform for the public speaking competition, Lord. And just give him that peace that passes all understanding, calm his nerves. We're just thankful today for Hilda's life, Lord. And I didn't get a chance to know her while she was here in November when I spoke, and had a chance to meet her. Grateful that she had such an impact on other people's lives here in the church and community. And, just pray that you be with celebration of life, Lord, and all those days that we'll have some mourning and sorrow, but also time to reflect on the good times and the things that she brought into life, Lord. And we just thank you for her. We just ask for Krista's friend, Kristen, Lord, that you would, you know what those difficult times are, and just be with her as she passes through them. And you'd be there on the other side. And, you would strengthen her through these times. And that she would, if she doesn't know you, Lord, but maybe through these times, that would be a way of being able to witness to her, Lord, and get strength through these times and grow from these times as well. We just pray for Tristan's daughter, Anaya, too, and she's getting some of that illness that's been going around in school and keeping kids out, and just pray that she got a speedy recovery and bounce back so she can get back into school. Lord, we just, I share in Louise's joy of the community here. As I said, just it's such an open place to have meaningful relationships with others, and it's just a relaxed atmosphere, and in a lot of ways, just a lot less stress here than in most places, Lord. That's not always the case, but we're blessed that we enjoy more peace up here than most. And I'm just glad that Louise feels like she's been reached out to and ministered, and people are looking after her. And I'm thankful for that. And just thank you for being a God that provides and looks after, and we can seek solace and security. And we thank you for these things in Christ's name. Yeah. All right, where was I? We're going to read. I've got put up there. Were you able to find that one?
Yeah, I just had to split up into two slides.
Okay. This is a story of Hilton the Land Beggar, and when I was looking through what I was going to preach on, it's just something that's been one of the stories that you hear as a kid, and it kind of gets passed over when you start learning. I don't know, some of these really simple stories are the ones that seem to kind of take the back seat sometimes when you're more into the Bible, I guess. So I'm going to start off reading, and this is Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as the one that used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, this is the second time I've actually preached. The personal note, never say never. I was asked a couple times, and I said, I will never get up in front of people and preach. So, I think God looks at that as a personal challenge when you say something like that. So, I have my disclaimer for today. Preparing for the sermon today, like I said, it's kind of one of those stories that you learned about maybe back in Sunday school. But I thought one of the things I enjoy most about our church is breakfast, the adult summer school, because it's discussion based, I guess. There's interaction. I would feel a lot more comfortable if we were just sitting around and just like, oh, let's talk about these scriptures. But that's not the case. So I kind of, what I thought was, I read through this and then I was like, when we get into discussion, something we call rabbit trails, is that, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're one person kind of, you look at this thing and read it five times, but then somebody sitting next to you can say, well, what about this? You know, or this is what I thought was kind of spoke to me. So that's what's neat about the Bible. So I have a challenge there coming up with a rabbit trail, but I think I got one. So I'm going to start out with in a book, and this was something I looked on the internet. In the late 1980s, there was a philosophy professor. He wrote to 250 of the best-known scientists, intellectuals, philosophers, the hoity-toity crowd there of all the knowledge, and he asked each to kind of explain what they thought the meaning of life was. And then he later published a book with their responses. I didn't get online to look at their responses, but some offered their best guesses at what they thought the meaning of life was. Others admitted that they had actually made up a purpose for the meaning of life, and a few honestly admitted that they had no idea what the meaning of life was. A few people write back to him, I thought was interesting, that said that if he discovered what the meaning of life was, to write back to them and let them know. Max Lucado, who's he writes Christian books, he wrote a book called Traveling Light, and he says in it, philosophers can debate the meaning of life, but we need a Lord who can declare the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to kind of hit on today. Have you made the discovery? Do you know your purpose in life? Rick Warren, who wrote a rather huge bestseller, he's the founder of the Saddleback Church. I think it's out in Washington, somewhere. Oh, that's the same place. By the Purpose Driven Life, I don't know if you've heard of it or not, probably that. Sorry about that. And it's What on Earth Am I Here For? And it's a 6-week study guide. Talks about Christian living. And in his book, which is, I guess, when I was looking online, it's the 10th anniversary edition is out, so I thought that was, it doesn't seem like 10 years ago that was popular personally, well, but 10th anniversary edition is out, so I guess that's true. But anyway, he summarizes in his book the chapters, just do a quick outline of what's in the book. He surmises that we are planned for God's pleasure. So our first purpose is to offer real worship. We are formed for God's family, so our second purpose is to enjoy real fellowship. We are created to become like Christ, so our third purpose is to learn real discipleship. Now, we were shaped for serving God, so our fourth purpose should be to practice real ministry. And finally, we were made for a mission. Our fifth purpose is to live out real evangelism. So the question we may have is, what on earth are we here for? What's our purpose? And in today's reading, it seems quite evident that Peter and John knew their purpose. They chose not to rush by the lame beggar on their way to morning prayer. They took the time to minister to him. And what happened during that brief encounter with the man showed a lot about them, showed their character and purpose in life. Our purpose can often be fulfilled while ministering to people who appear unexpectedly. I think that's something that a lot of people miss When I spoke in November, and what I spoke on was opportunities, not missing opportunities. And it's difficult to get caught up in, you got your routine, and I'm sure John and Peter were, they were going, it was prayer time, and I was at the temple, and they probably had, fairly routine way of going about that, but they saw something that day, and their character wouldn't allow them to just simply pass by. The lame man who begged at the temple every day was probably nearly invisible to most passerbys. Surely you have seen panhandlers, men with homeless signs, the down and out on our city streets, or a person you may know closer to home that struggles with alcohol or drugging addiction. Do you have the ability to look past their appearance and circumstances and see the need for Christ that they may have in their lives? Let it be in our prayers to be on the lookout for these unexpected opportunities. We can also fulfill our purpose at unexpected times. Peter and John didn't have an appointment to heal the lame man, but their character, as I said before, made it impossible to walk by the man. They took the time to minister to him right then and there, following Christ's example. These are the disciples of Christ, so you'd like to think when they were on their journey with Christ that they were paying attention. Sometimes they were a little thick-headed. Jesus asked them several times, what don't you get about this? Do you not understand? It's just like us. We have thick heads, But here is where the rubber meets the road and something happened, these guys, just called back to them. They were able to know what to do in this particular situation with the lame man. So I kind of looked through another rabbit trail is when Jesus was on earth, he was often going somewhere when he taught and healed. On his way to Jericho, he met Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and he transformed his life just by spotting a man in the tree and taking the supper invite to go to his house. Jesus had just gotten off a boat from Decapolis when Jairus stopped Jesus to ask him to heal his daughter. And then how about the woman who suffered from a 12-year chronic illness that reached out in faith and touched the hem of Jesus' robe and received healing? Much of Jesus' ministry happened on the road. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm gonna read one other passage too that I like. Do you have the message on there, Connor?
No.
Okay, that's all right. I'll read it from here. I like the message. Thinking about, like I said, with people being thick-headed, I definitely fall in that category. Sometimes when I read a scripture out of one version versus another, it just kind of makes more sense to me. So this is the same passage in the message. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, Mr. Highlight, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. So it's not like you're doing this alone. This Christian thing isn't meant to be out there, in the trenches by yourself. We always have people around us. Surround yourself with people that can lift you up, and Jesus makes this promise in the Great Commission that he will be there with you to do this work. So So through this, what I got out of that scripture was that Jesus knew firsthand that ministry is, that's beyond the road, you know? It's everyday life. It's when you're out there. That's when things are going to happen. It's not when you're sitting, you know, when we're here to be refreshed, we're here to worship, but the rest of the week, we're going to be about His work. So that's a good verse to kind of get charged for the weekday, weekdays as you go out. We can also fulfill our purpose in unexpected ways. The lame beggar needed money, or so he believed. Peter and John knew their financial limitations when they said to him, "Silver and gold have I none." If Peter and John had money and had given it to him, it may have just prolonged his misery. They did not want to make this man, or perhaps others like him, dependent on the new church for their sustenance. They wanted to give him more than a handout. They wanted to give him self-respect. Peter and John knew their financial limitations, but they also knew their spiritual resources. They said, "But such as I have, I give to thee." As disciples, Peter and John knew their purpose in life was to extend God's grace to others, and in doing so, transform them into followers. So it really wasn't unexpected for them to command the lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, to rise up and walk. Verse 8 says, "And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." By fulfilling their purpose, Peter and John gave the lame man a new purpose for his life, and God received the glory. Have you discovered God's purpose for your life? If so, are you fulfilling it? Let it be our prayer to live a Christ-centered life, looking for ways to serve God while expecting the unexpected. That's what I have for you today. I'll just take a second to close us in prayer for that. Heavenly Father, we just count it a blessing to be here to worship you today, Lord. We just ask that you would help us with the Great Commission, Lord, and that you would use us in a mighty way. You would help us to reach out to others and just make disciples of others. Lord, we need to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ along our sides and help us to encourage each other. We just pray that you would help us with our purpose. We're so grateful that you created us in a way that we yearn. We have a yearning to fill. Sometimes we have that emptiness, Lord, that we just have to fill with you. And we just pray that you would help us with fulfilling our purpose here. Christ, we thank you for coming to earth and setting the perfect example. Lord, that we have you to look to and the Bible to instruct us. Just help us when we put on our armor of God, Lord, that you would instruct us and keep us safe. We just pray that you would watch over us always. In Christ's precious name.